don't understand what the book. I got something. Did you put that up or what happened? Just came up anyway. So if you don't understand what the book's about, you come up with all sorts of weird sort of ideas, and that's pretty obvious at the moment. You only have to look around at all the prophecies that are going. I'm not anti-prophetic, hello, but half disagree with the other half, so somebody's not can't be right. So anyway, you know, but this is written by John, and I've been really studying John now. I just love this man. After Paul, he wrote more in the New Testament than anybody else. And he's the only living original disciple at this time. All the others have been martyred. Only John is alive. Remember, they tried to boil him in oil. If you go back to history, they took him into the Roman Colosseum and put him in a big vat and tried to boil him alive. They couldn't kill him. He got up and he was preaching Jesus. So the Roman emperor was so, you know, afraid of him that he banished him to the Isle of Patmos, and that's where he writes the book of Revelation. No, he didn't die on Patmos. He was only there for probably 2 years, but nevertheless, don't let Bible facts get in the way of a good story. The man possibly lived to be 100 years of age. Now, I love the way he describes himself. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, when I first read that, I thought that man is in love with his mirror. I mean, if anybody else fell in love with him, he'd get jealous. But he's not saying that God doesn't love anybody else. He's the only one that has a revelation of God's love for him. The others all operate out of a love, their love for God. And there's a big difference between your love for God, which is going to be failing for a start, which at the best is phileo love, but John operates out of agape, God's love for him. Think about this. He wrote more books of the Bible except Paul. A revelation of grace and love, I believe, here. John's gospel is like no other book in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what's called the synoptic gospels, which means similar, but John's is not. It's almost completely different. For instance, he's the only one that writes grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Others don't write that. And the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are written within 18 months of Jesus' death. And they only really cover the first year of Jesus' life. But John's is written 60 to 65 years later, at the end of his life. Now, stop and think for a moment. How could you write John chapter 14, 15, 16 from memory at the end of his life? I believe it's because he has an ongoing revelation of God's love for him and God's grace. Now, John writes more of Jesus' words than any other the writer. For instance, if it wasn't for John, we wouldn't have John 2, the wedding, Jesus' first miracle. We wouldn't have that recorded. If it wasn't for John chapter 3, Nicodemus, we must be born again. We wouldn't have that. If it wasn't for John in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, we wouldn't have that. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. John chapter 5, the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. John chapter 13, the washing of the disciples' feet. Not recorded in any other gospel. Now, just think about that for a moment. And he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's not saying God doesn't love anyone else. What he's saying is that he has a revelation of how much God loves him. Remember Peter? There's a huge difference between Peter and John. Peter's got his foot in his mouth half the time, you know, and he operates out of the flesh. If everybody else leaves, I'll be there till the end. I'll be with you till you die. Is that right? He's the first to quit. Selfish love, listen to me, just doesn't cut it. You think, I can't get over this. 60 to 65 years later, he writes the gospel. I couldn't even remember what I preached 65 years ago. Think about this. I believe it's because he has a growing revelation of the grace of God and God's love for him. Now, how many of you know he didn't start off this way? Let me read to you how he starts off. Just give me a minute because I've got to turn my Bible over here. in Luke, if you got your Bibles, Luke chapter 9, he writes here in verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, as Elijah did? But he returned and rebuked them, says Jesus, and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. John is one of what's called the sons of thunder. So how, and that's not a compliment, by the way. So how could a man that's called the son of thunder end up being called the disciple whom Jesus loved? What happened in the man's life? Five times he records the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't even call himself John. He calls himself, that's not narcissistic, that's revelation. Think about this. Moses, is that right? Who wrote Moses was the most humble man on the earth? Moses wrote that about himself. He wrote that himself. But nevertheless, it's recorded in the Bible. So who are you and I to argue with that? It's truly recorded in Scripture. And I believe what's going on here, that John's not saying he doesn't love anybody else. He's saying here that I have a revelation of how much God loves me. Perfect love, agape love. Our love is at the best phileo. But God's love, unconditional. Think about that. Unfailing love is God's love for us. I find, anyway, this is just me, I find maybe 80 to 90% of the Christians that I minister to say they don't feel worthy of God's love. 80 to 90% say that. Well, we'll never be worthy of God's love, but that's why it's so important to have a revelation. There's a huge contrast between Peter and John. Peter trusted in his love for God. That's selfish. That's self-centered. That's like Pastor Ray was saying, when we take communion, it's not about us, it's about him. But Peter's trust is in himself. John's trust is in God's love for him. The thing about, as I say, our love is selfish. As I say, Peter says, if all the others quit, is that right? He says, man, I'll be there till the end. I'll die for you. He's the first to quit. Ever said some things you wish you'd never said? Before this day is over, you'll deny even you me 3 times. Peter's all about self bravado, willpower, self effort. I hear people today say, I'm a self-made man. Well, how's that working for you now in this crisis? But John depends on God's love for him. It's a natural, it's effortless, it's uncomplicated. I love that. The more that I look at that, John chapter 13, if you go there with me. I hope you got your Bibles, John chapter 13. And let's read here from verse 21. This is the Last Supper, incidentally. Give me just a moment. John 13, 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Then there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter mentioned to ask him, it was whom he spoke of. Then leaning back on Jesus, but he said, Lord, who is it? Now, think about this. This is not Leonardo da Vinci's painting. This is the Last Supper. John is as close to Jesus as you can get. He's got his head on Jesus. Peter's up the other end of the table. Selfish love will separate you from God. You can't have an intimacy based on our love for God. It has to be a revelation of his love for us. Peter's at the end of the table. There will always be a distance. He doesn't even ask Jesus. He asks John. And John leans over, is that right or not? And asks Jesus, who's it going to be? So there's an intimacy there. Is that an intimacy that can't be obtained by our own efforts? Striving, stressing. Think about that. Is that right? John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Listen to me. Look at the red letters in this. No one else recorded this. Now think about this. This is the Last Supper, Jesus' prayer in the garden. The others don't even record this. John chapter 14, verse 1. For instance, let not your heart be troubled. John recorded that. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it. John recorded that. The only one, listen to me, in the garden, how many of you remember? Peter and the others go to sleep. The most important time of their life, they're all asleep. But John stays awake. Is this correct or not? So he'll record every word that Jesus ever spoke. The only disciple who does that. Peace, John chapter 15, verse 11. My joy might remain in you. John chapter 16, 7. Look at John chapter 16 with me for a moment. Verses 7, let me pick it up. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And drop over to, we'll read a little bit more. Go to verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he'll not speak on his own authority. For whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. John recorded that. Peter doesn't record it. Listen to me. Matthew, Mark, Luke don't record that. Only John records that. Think about that. When the Holy Spirit will come, lead you, guide you. You know, we're so out of touch today. We've got to have a prophet to tell us, hello. Prophets today are not supposed to be giving you direction. The Spirit of truth that resides within you is supposed to lead you and guide you. That's why we end up with these weird sort of things and, you know, anyway, I'm not saying there's not a place for prophets, but there's supposed to be confirmation to what the Spirit of truth inside of you is already telling you. And if it's not confirmation, put it aside. Just put it aside. The pastor is in shock right about now. They don't know what I'm going to say, but hey, they'll preach next week and straighten out all of this doctrine. Is that okay? But Brother Hagin, remember Kenneth Hagin, the fourth person at the Trinity? He said, of all the prophecies I've ever received, if 5% ever came to pass. Now, how bad is that? Now, that doesn't mean you put it aside, but it's so easy to get swept up in your own emotions. I'm going to give this piece of my mind or whatever else it is. And I just find, anyway, hey, I don't want to be led astray. If I'm going to make them, I'll make it myself. And so I've got to learn to touch in. And John records, only John records. He says, is that right? I'll send you the Holy Spirit. John chapter 17, pardon me, verse 21. He says here, I love this. Listen, this is John. That they all may be one, as you and I, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Wouldn't that be wonderful today? Well, there's arguments, and if you've had the vax or haven't had the vax, you know, there's some lunatic going right around now saying if you've had the vax, then you're not a human being anymore. You're a zombie. What? I mean, hello, you shouldn't be preaching. You should be driving a truck. Listen to me. And I said, imagine how that makes somebody feel that's just been vaccinated. My granddaughter had to be vaccinated because she's a paramedic. No choice. I said, so you imagine how you would make my granddaughter feel. Now she's no longer a human being. Now she's a zombie. I said, if I was there, I'd punch you in the face and repent later. But anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm on that point. Is it right to be real, or do we tiptoe through the tulips, you know? And so here he writes, is that right? He goes on to say in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could agree to disagree? I don't give a rip if you've had the vax or don't have. That's entirely up to you. It's nobody else's business. But shouldn't we at least be able to get on and agree with one another? Hello, is that right or not? Anyway, he goes on to say, I and them and you and me, verse 23, that they may be perfect in one and the world may know that you have sent me, and listen to this, and have loved me as you, and loved them as you love me. Listen to me. God loves you the same as he loves Jesus. Exactly the same. Now get a revelation of that. You know, most of us can't we can't handle that. But that's what it says. The same as he loves his son, he loves you. He goes on to say, Father, I desire they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which you give me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, as I say, think about it. Only John records this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke only record the first year. We wouldn't even know Jesus ministered for 3 years if it wasn't for John. 65 years later, at the end of his life, he sits down and he records. How is that possible? I mean, get you. Is that right? They didn't have laptop computers and things. The only way he could do this is an ongoing revelation of the grace of God, of God's love for him. He kept having that intimate relationship, how much God loves me. Is that right? I love it. John chapter 19, if you'll go with me, verse 25. He says here, now as they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Question, where's Big Mouth Peter? He was going to die for Jesus. The only disciple who stays at the cross is John. Read it. Is that right? The only disciple who doesn't die a martyr's death is John. Because love never fails. Agape love. Intimate love. God's love for us. Think about, where's Peter? He shot his mouth off big time. He's not even there. Is that right? Think about this just for a moment. Jesus started off with what, 70 followers, approximately anyway. We get down to the 12 apostles. We get down to the intimate three, Peter, James, and John. But only one man stays faithful at the cross, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's got a revelation of God's only John. Man, the more I look at that, yeah. If you're going to go to sleep, don't go to sleep now. Peter, James, and John is always recorded that way in Scripture. It's never reversed. It's always Peter, James, and John. Is that right? It's always recorded that way. Peter's name means rock or stone, representing the law. James, which is a derivative of Jacob, which means supplanter or replaced by, and John means grace. So the law has been replaced by grace. I love that. Man, I love that. You know, and think about this. As I say, John, how is he from son of thunder to now the disciple whom Jesus loved? Because it's not phileo love. It's not selfish love. It's not all about me. Is that right? And I can do this like Peter, and I'll be there to the end. And man, I'll be more committed than you. Yeah, right. Heard that? We're right behind you, Pastor. Yeah, but so far I can't find you. Anyway, thank you for enthusiasm. I might have been born at night, but not last night. I didn't come down the last shower rain, Jack. Hello? My head's not zipped up the back. I love real things. You know, that's why I love the Lord. Man, he just ministered is that right? I believe he would have been in the pubs today, just talking to people, relating to people. As I say, if you're just into phileo love, you're going to fail in the crisis. Is that right? And when the going really gets tough, when things don't go your own way, is that right? John never falters. Effortless, uncomplicated, completely natural. That's what I love about it. You know, think about it. And going back to the cross, Jesus speaks to him at the cross, verse 27. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Now think about this. Jesus doesn't even commit his mother to his physical brothers. He commits her into the man, is that right or not, that is the most faithful of them all, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John takes care of it. No, he didn't die on Patmos. He goes back to Ephesus and takes care of Jesus' mother for the rest of her life. He speaks to him from the cross, verse 27. From the cross, he speaks to him. I love that. Anyway. Go to John chapter 20. I won't go real long. couple of days, pastor said I can go. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, this is after Jesus, you know, resurrection. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the tomb had been taken away. Then she ran and she came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Here we go again, I love it. And said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and they were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together and the other disciple and the disciple outrun Peter. Isn't that wonderful? Recorded in the Bible, who's the fastest runner? Who gives a rip of your physical ability to run? It's got nothing to do. Listen to me. Fastest runner, what's he doing? Running is a metaphor for spiritual growth. If you don't believe me, Hebrews says, let us run with endurance. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll run and not be weary. It's a metaphor, listen to me, for spiritual growth. John outrun Peter. You know, think about that. That doesn't mean he's just the fastest runner, but I believe it's also the motivation. He's the last at the cross. He's the first at the tomb. Anyway, doesn't the scripture say not by might, not by power, certainly not by our brilliant intellects, but by my spirit? You know, one thing, and Pastor Ray and Pam have been over to Joseph Prince's church with us in Singapore. I'm just believing we're going to be able to go again. But years ago, that changed my life forever. It changed my life. Now, I've been in ministry over 30 years at that stage. You know, word of faith, love it, man, changed my life. But when I had a revelation of grace, just sitting there, and you get a revelation, it's not something you just preach. You can preach a message and not have a revelation of it. Just get some notes. Go on Facebook or YouTube and get all you want and not even have a revelation. Peter's shooting his mouth off. He's got no revelation of God's love for him or the grace of God. It's all about me and what I can do and push. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to sit at the right hand of the Father? Is that right? All about me. And John just has his head on Jesus' breast, the only one that hears the heartbeat of God. Anyway. So John, he says here, they both ran. Is that right? And John outran Peter. Go to John chapter 21, last chapter here. And here in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas the twin. We'll read those. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They've quit. That doesn't mean they're going fishing for the day. They've quit. And they said, well, we're going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat that night and they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore and the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said, children, have you any food? They answered and they said, no. He said, well, cast your net on the right side and you'll find some. So they cast it and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. The only one that recognizes Jesus is John. Is that right? He says to Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter's that thick, the Forrest Gump of the ministry, that he dives into the water and away he goes. You know, Peter acts impulsively. He acts in the flesh. Well, I feel a love is going to come now. I don't know where you stand on all this, but it's my turn to preach. When it's your turn to preach, do it your way. You know, people are saying, oh, all these terrible things, we need to protest and all. I'm not saying shouldn't stand up. But how did Jesus react when they came to arrest him? They came with the handcuffs to take away his freedom. Did they all jump up with placards and let's all protest? And no, Peter jumps up and lops the soldier's ear off. Symbolically, what he's done is cut the communication between the authorities and the church. Peter is a type of church. And acting in the flesh, he's cut off all communication. I believe in this day, what we need is communication with the authorities. You know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Most times we're pepper. We're just an irritant. Pepper gets up your nose, it's just an irritant. That's all it is. Man, listen to what some of these supposed prophets and Christians. Man, if I was a prime minister, I'd say you're just an idiot. I'm not listening to you. How come that Billy Graham was the ear of God, is that right, to all those presidents, whether he agreed or not? I mean, is that what, Clinton's were probably the worst, but we're still, is this correct or not? Because I believe we need to have, is that right, some sort of access into the leadership, whether we agree or we don't agree. Paul, when he talks to Agrippa, and Agrippa says, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. He didn't say, you're an idiot, get out of here. So what happens? Jesus steps up and replaces the ear. Is that right or not? Symbolically restoring communication between the church and the authorities of the land. And Jesus also said, if you live by the sword, then you will die by the sword. If that's the way you're going to live, then that's the way you're going to end up. It's gone very quiet in this Presbyterian church right about now. Do I lie? Anyway, so think about this. So what's Peter's response? John says, well, it's the Lord, and he dives in. Is that right? Let me pick it up here again in verse 15. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, is that right? Simon bar Jonah. He goes back to his name before, not even Peter anymore. He goes back. He says here, do you love me? Do you love me, agape? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know, I love you, phileo, which is, you know, intimate, related friendship for you. He says, well, tend my sheep. He says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape. Peter's thick as a brick. He doesn't even, he says, I love you, phileo. He says, well, don't look at me so super spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. John and the Lord are talking about God's love for him. Peter's saying, my love for you. Anyway, third time, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? He comes down to Peter's level. And Peter was grieved. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. He says, well, feed my sheep. Interesting. You know, what I love about John is he has a revelation of God's perfect love for him. If you're going to struggle in the flesh, is that right? I'm just going to go with grace. Just God's love for me. Just exactly as we are. Warts and all. Is that right? I'm sitting in Joseph Prince's church some years ago. I just lost one of my best friends to a heart attack. And I was depressed. I was sad. I heard the voice of God say, Carl, I love you. I even like you. That does something for you. And he says, and when you confess your sin to me, it's not when I found out about it, I've known you from the womb. Can I share something with you? What's God saying to you in all this? Forget about me. What's God saying to you? I'll tell you what he's saying to me. Listen to me, mate. You are the disciple whom Jesus loves. Get a revelation of it. Not just John. Get a revelation. You are the disciple whom Jesus loves. You know, I love that. And here, just that poor old Pete picking on him. And Jesus said to him in verse 18, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself, you walked where you wanted to go, you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't wish. He's telling him how he's going to end his life, how this is all going to end up. You know, well, Peter said to him, you know, I'll die for you. Isn't that what he said? And Jesus, verse 19, then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he'd spoken this, he said, follow me. He didn't say follow Christians. He said, follow me. He didn't say follow the prophet, follow the mob. He said, follow me. This is me. I found after nearly 40 years in ministry with spiritual things, usually the majority are wrong. The majority wanted to crucify Christ. John is the only one that hears the voice of God. The only one that hears the heartbeat of God. All the others die martyrs' deaths, but John lives to be probably 100 years old. Think about this. Peter, verse 20, Peter turning around saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, who leaned on his breast at supper, and he says, Lord, who's the one that betrays you? Seeing him, he said, Jesus, what about this man? Don't you love it? He's just told him how he's going to end his life. And Peter looks over and says, well, what about him? What about him? Hey, is this right or not? Don't it get under your nerves when somebody you detest, God really blesses? Makes you really angry, isn't that right? How come, didn't you? Oh, let me straighten you up about him. Is that right? Peter's just been told how he's going to end. He says, well, what about John? What's going to happen? Tell me something worse that's going to happen to him. I'll be happy. Is that right? And Jesus said, I will that he remain till I come. What's up to you? Follow me. It's none of your business what's going to happen to John. Follow me. Is that right or not? Man, anyway. So anyway, I don't know, but I just love John. I've been studying John now for a while. I love him. Man, the more I look into this, as I say, so think about this. John's an old man. He's 65 years later, but he's been walking in this grace, in this love of God. Natural, effortless, uncomplicated. Peter's up and down like a yo-yo. One day is he, is that right? But John is at last at the cross. He's the first at the tomb. This former narcissistic son of thunder now becomes the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why? Because he got a revelation of God's grace. No more struggling, no more stressing, no more pushing, no more shoving, no more trying to make it happen. Okay, so we're in a crisis. You're telling me that this took God by surprise? Whoops, I only created the universe, but I never saw this COVID thing coming. Yeah, right. I mean, are we stupid or what? I mean, common sense is not even very common anymore, especially in the church. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But John writes, chapter 14, 15, have a look at how much is in those, 14, 15, 16, and he writes it from memory. Dear God, I'm struggling to remember people's names. Is that right? And I got to close up, but go to 1 John with me and we'll close off somewhere here. 1 John and chapter 4, and let's read here verse 10. In this is love, he says. This is at the end of his life. He's an old man, and he writes, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. He goes on in verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us, agape love, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in this world, so are we, and there is no fear in agape, because perfect love casts out fear. Not your love for God. That won't take away your fear, but a revelation of God's love for you, that he'll provide for you no matter what. He'll take care of you. Man, we've just seen a wonderful answer to prayer in my own family. My son in Darwin, and he had a heart attack, and he's the bodybuilder fitness. But anyway, you abuse your body. But anyway, so now he had to have the jab or lose your job, and he doesn't want to have it. And so he's going to see his doctor, but his doctor's away. And so he runs up, and the doctor there just happens to be the doctor that saved his life in the gymnasium where he had the heart attack. Was this doctor. Saved his life, and he finds out that they've got a lot in common. He's a Christian. He sits God on the wall. You know, God is the ultimate physician. And Shane said, he said, is that you? And he said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And Shane said, oh, so am I. So they started to share. And Shane said, look, I have to have the vaccination or I'm going to lose my job, but I don't want to. And so the doc says, there's another one coming. I think it's called Novavax or something. Lot less. Anyway, it's a lot less dangerous, whatever. And so he said, I'll write you a letter and you can just wait and have that. So my son is on full pay, on leave, until his new vaccine comes in. Probably on full pay, on leave for 3 months. The grace of God. They couldn't sell their unit. The market up there has been repressed. We prayed, it sold within 24 hours. the grace of God. I was sharing, it's not your love for God. God loves you just like you are, warts and all, stupidity and all, with all the stupid things we've done and all. The disciple whom Jesus loves. Man, I love it. Look at verse, read here in verse 7. I love this. Now, this is an old man writing. He says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But how about this for a punch between the eyes? But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Doesn't say he has it. He said it is. He says, if you don't know love, you really don't even know God. That's not a put down. That's not like John saying he doesn't love anyone. He's saying, if you don't have a revelation of the agape love of God, you really don't even know God. How many of you know most of us have got our own perception of God? Is that right? I mean, we agree on most, but we disagree on certain things. You know, I've never believed that God's ever made people sick. From day one, I've never believed that. I wouldn't do that to my kids. I've never believed that God put you through tests or trials. Never in my life. But I've got friends that believed all that sort of thing. We've got different perceptions of God, he says. But if you don't have a revelation of God's grace and love for you, you really don't even know God. Let that sink in for a little bit. So anyway, in 1 John chapter 3, I love it again, he writes in verse 1, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed on us? Read it in the message. It says, wow, superlatives. He says, what is this thing, this agape love of God for us? Superlatives. I can't put it into words. This is at the end of his life, 100 years old probably. He's writing this after 65 years. He says, whoa. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Isn't that awesome? Imagine sharing that with the people in the street. But let me just say one more time. He says, if you don't understand the agape love, then you really don't even know God. We think we do. When I was sitting in Joseph Church, 7, 8 years ago, hey, I thought I knew God, had conversations enough with him. But I had a revelation of grace. I'm just sitting there. And I've preached grace before. But when a revelation comes, I understand what John's saying here right now. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Let me just say this. At the end of his life, he's an old man. Now, this is history. You won't find this in Scripture if you go through and do history. John comes back and he goes to the synagogue. And they go, whoa, John's here. The only man that's still alive that, you know, and he had written to the Gnostics, you know, saying, because the Gnostics were saying Jesus never come in the flesh. And John writes, I was there. I saw him. I touched him. Is that right? So they said, well, come up and talk. Come up and share with us. I mean, you imagine this man that wrote all of those books, the Revelation, how long he could talk for. And he gets up and he says, just 3 words. He says, love one another. And sits down. And they're waiting for more. And they said, well, go, come up. And so he comes up a second time. And he says, share with us. And he says, love one another. And they say, well, why would you say that? He says, because that's the commandment that our Lord gave us. Listen to me. There's not 10 commandments. There's 11. A new commandment I give you. Is that right? That you love one another. By this, by our brilliant intellects, by how smart we are, how much money we've given, whether we got a jet plane or not, the biggest, no, he says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved at the end of his life, as they ask him to speak, says 3 words, love one another. So, Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters over there in Kiwi land. Lord, it's wonderful that we've had that relationship for so many years. And Lord, I just ask for a special blessing. Lord, pour out your blessings upon them, that they're the head, not the tail, and above and not beneath, that whatever they turn their hands to shall prosper and succeed. But I ask, Lord, that you'd give them a revelation of your love, just as they are not phileo love, but agape, unconditional, undeserved love. which never fails. We just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.